He scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get this hour underway. It is Wednesday, March 20th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you on this Wednesday. Hello, Wes. What's going on?
Hello, Pat. What an awful Wednesday out there.
Yeah, you know, I actually feel a little bad for the Flames. They're taking 2 days away from the rink.
Yeah.
And Ryan Huska said something on Monday before the game. He told us in our little meeting that we have with him before every game. He goes, yeah, it'll be good to them, get a little sun. And I was like, I didn't want to say anything. He's like, yeah. I saw the weather forecast this morning. I feel like they get the 2 days and like just awful weather. Yesterday, Tuesday night, just like blowing snow everywhere. And on this Wednesday, it's just gross. It's almost April, Calgary. Grow up.
Grow up is right.
14 games to go this season. The Flames don't play again until Saturday. They will bounce to Vancouver on Thursday following a practice. They'll practice there on Friday and then play the Canucks on Saturday. 14 games to go. And so I want to kick off this hour by, you know, just a simple question. How the heck should the Flames deal with their goaltending situation between now and the end of the regular season? So Dustin Wolf's still up with the team. We're anticipating Jacob Markstrom will be ready to return in one of the two games this weekend when they play Vancouver Saturday and Buffalo on Sunday. This was head coach Ryan Huska on Monday morning when asked about Jacob Markstrom.
Skating today, and we're expecting him to skate three more times this week coming up. So hopefully everything keeps progressing the right way and he's in our net on the weekend.
So decent chance that the Flames have three healthy NHL goaltenders for Saturday and or Sunday when they take on Vancouver Buffalo back-to-back. Question number one, as we're going to spend the good chunk of the first hour talking about this, like, should they keep the three goalies on the main roster? I know where we stand, but let's reset. I know we're on the same page. But if you and I had the decision-making power in front of us, would we be keeping, with Markstrom healthy, would we be keeping Jacob, Wolf, and Vladar on this roster?
I would be. Yeah. Yeah, I would be. What about you?
I would be as well.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd be keeping all three of them up. I don't know what the Flames are going to do. I don't know if the Flames are thinking the same way. But if it were me, I'd keep Wolf up with Markstrom and Vladar. I would convert Dustin to a regular recall, which would be the third of the four post-deadline recalls the Flames have all day, every day. That's what I'd be doing. I think that makes the most sense for him because you're in a spot where there's 14 games to go. Your playoff odds are like sub 2%. And while a miracle run might get you in, you can't be putting all your eggs in the miracle run basket. You have to be thinking pragmatically on top of everything. And I feel like Dustin Wolf to this point has earned himself some more playing time. And now with a roster limit that doesn't exist anymore and a salary cap situation that is very, very flexible for you, you've got the opportunity to do something that would have been a whole lot more detrimental or cumbersome earlier in the year. I think carrying three goaltenders for the next little while is absolutely something they should be thinking about doing.
Yeah, the only way I could see that not being the thought, and you and I have chatted about this week, you know, we're both on certainly the same page that we think Dustin Wolf needs to be around the big club for the next little while here. You know, the only thing I wonder is about those four recalls and if there's a plan to maybe reassign Dustin for a few days so that you can bring him up on emergency again instead of have three healthy goaltenders. And So essentially, you know, we know something's been bothering Jacob Markstrom all season. You could probably sell the NHL on a emergency recall again soon.
You can usually sell the NHL,
yeah,
especially as you move towards April on hangnails and you know.
Sell in the, you know, from what we know about Jacob Markstrom, sell isn't even probably a fair way to put it. He's barely practiced. He's had something nagging him for a long while now, but so that's the sort of nuance, I guess, of the recall equation. But I believe, and I know you feel the same way, that Dustin Wolf is going to benefit the most from being around the NHL team for the next few weeks. And, you know, I would add on top of that, that the NHL team, looking beyond this season, is going to benefit the most from having Dustin Wolf around, yeah, for a few weeks too. This isn't just a, you know, this isn't a pat on the back for Dustin Wolf. This isn't doing a favor for anybody. This is trying to expose one of your top prospects to what it's like to play in the NHL. And we hear Dustin Wolf after every start talk about the importance of getting some reps against the best shooters in the world. We hear him talk, and he said the same after the Washington game about, you know, learning how to battle through the traffic that you get in the NHL, learning, you know, some of the things that you're just not going to experience at the American Hockey League level. And if you talk to people who surround Dustin Wolf, they'll tell you very clearly, like, that's not, when he characterizes a loss to Ovechkin and the Capitals as another learning lesson, that's not bluster. This yeah, guy is so focused. Mackenzie Skapski, who is the goaltending coach for the Wranglers, told me before Dustin Wolf had even done his media avail the other night. And what was that, 5 minutes after the game?
Yeah.
He texted Mackenzie Skapski to ask about one of the goals that he gave up. You can bet he'd already talked to Jason LaBarbera about the same thing. Like, that, this guy is so wired to hone his craft and quite frankly, to try to perfect his craft. We know goaltending doesn't work that way, but that's the way he's wired. And I just think for so many reasons, the value of having him around his own NHL team, of having him around NHL shooters, far outweighs, hey, could we save a recall somehow? Or, hey, how is Dan Vladar going to feel about it? Like, I just think the benefits long-term of having Dustin Wolf around for a few weeks are absolutely worth pursuing.
Well, and it was something that Megan Mickelson said on postgame on Monday as well. Said, you know, starting to feel like you're more part of the team culture, and to even to have teammates feel like he's more part of the culture, and just more familiarity of him in the locker room and being around the group that we all believe he should be around full time next year. And all those type, what we all believe, many of us believe, including me and Wes, I don't want to speak for everybody. I think there's a lot of those kind of non on the nose or on the surface things that'll be really, really important as well. Sure, the development, the reps for both team and player absolutely will be important. And I also think that just, you know, from a standpoint of the guys who are going to be here next year, to see Dustin around and just see more about how he goes about his business, learn more about how dedicated he is and how dialed in at all times he is and all that type of stuff. I think that there's benefit for everybody involved.
Sure.
So yeah, it just, and I do think that sending him back down to the American League near the end of the season, you could absolutely make a point for that and a reasonable justification for it. Get him back with the Wranglers, back playing there before they go into the postseason, where he's going to be a huge part of their postseason success. But I think for the next little while, they still have, let's do some quick math. April 17th is the last game of the regular season, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was the 18th.
Maybe it's the 18th.
But it's that week for sure.
So that's like, there's still 4 weeks until the season's done. If you can keep them up, and the American League season goes another week or so.
Till the 20th.
So 4 or 5 days after the Flames are done. So you send him down for that final week of the season, get him back with the Wranglers. That's still 3 weeks that he could absolutely, and everybody could absolutely benefit from him being up here.
Yeah, and I would even say, you know, if you're in the he's too small crowd, and I know there's people out there, we hear it on the text line, Dustin Wolf certainly knows the naysayers are out there. there are people who think, no, he's too small. It's not going to work. And hey, that's fine. That's your opinion. But I think even for that crowd, there's a benefit to having him up because you got to find out. Like Dustin Wolf's not up. I keep saying this, but Dustin Wolf's not up as a favor. Dustin Wolf beat the defending Stanley Cup champions with a terrific performance last week, right? 6 nights ago that we were talking about that. And so this isn't a case of a guy who's not ready for the NHL. This isn't a case of a guy who hasn't earned the opportunity to be in the NHL. And so Dustin Wolf can learn some things about himself by sticking around the NHL for a few more weeks. I think the Flames can get a better grasp. And they have a great book on Dustin Wolf, the AHLer and the junior prospect. And, you know, they absolutely love this kid around the Saddle Dome. But you can get a better book on what it looks like at the NHL level as well, whether that's what does he need to focus on in the summer? What, you know, what specific training are you going to ask him to do in the offseason? All these things, every single minute or period or night of NHL hockey that Dustin Wolf plays gets you closer to figuring out what the finished product's going to look like. Yep. It gets Dustin Wolf closer to figuring out, okay, what's my roadmap to succeed at this highest level? And I just think, as you said, we're talking about, you know, a snowball's chance and you know where of making the playoffs. Now is time to invest in the future, and he's such a huge part of that.
This is Dustin Wolf postgame on Monday. For his part, he's prepared regardless. And then maybe we get a clue a little bit closer to Saturday's game in Vancouver. Maybe we find out that he has been sent to the American League and goes back there, and they are going to stay with two goalies. I feel like it makes a lot of sense to stick with three for the next number of weeks here. But Dustin Wolf sounds like he's prepared either way. This was him post-game after the loss against Washington.
If this is your last game on this call-up, how will you look back at this latest, you know, call-up?
I think I'll be pretty pleased. Again, reps are, you know, reps. I'm not a few outstanding outings and, you know, definitely some things to build on, and you know, a couple areas where you can always improve.
So that was Dustin Wolf postgame on Monday. And he'll be fine with whatever they decide. If they decide to go with three, if they decide to send him to the American League, whatever the case may be, Dustin will be fine. But let's just assume for, and the text line's open at 960-960. We'll get to some of your texts on this a little bit later on. How many for each guy then? Let's assume that Jacob is good to return and he'll be healthy for the final 14 games, or at the very least, he'll be healthy to start the final 14-game stretch. There's a lot of different nuances to this, a lot of different kind of sub-points to this.
Yeah.
But on the surface, 14 to go. Mm-hmm. How many for each guy with three goalies on the roster if they go that way?
You want to take this one first, or you want me to dive in here?
Either way. I know what my kind of number is.
Sure.
But I'd be curious as to what yours is.
Okay, so I've got six more for Jacob Markstrom.
Okay.
And that's sort of a number, you know, if we want to get really analytical about it, that's a number I just picked out of the air.
Super analytical.
I would love to see six for Markstrom, six for Dustin Wolf, and two for Dan Vladar. But I think it's important to sort of foster or create a competition between Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf. And so I am willing, if Dan Vladar stands on his head, if Dan Vladar outplays Dustin Wolf, if Dustin Wolf has a tough one and then Dan gets an opportunity and plays really well, I'm willing to adjust those numbers. I don't want Dan Vladar because I don't really know what the future holds for Dan Vladar in Calgary, and I suppose that's mostly tied to not knowing what the future holds for Jacob Markstrom in Calgary. But if Jacob Markstrom is potentially peddled in a trade this summer, I could certainly see a scenario where we're talking about a Dustin Wolf, Dan Vladar platoon next season, or you know, that those two are sharing the crease here in Calgary. And so for that reason, I want to be really careful about souring Dan Vladar. I would love to get Dustin Wolf's total number of NHL starts to about 15 by the end of this season. He's at 9 right now. but I have to be careful that he's earned those starts. I don't want to be giving him more starts when maybe Dan Vladar is the guy who over that last few weeks has earned it. And so, you know, ideally I'm saying 6-6-2,
yep,
but I could be swayed a little bit there.
For me, I went 7 for Jacob, 4 for Wolf, 3 for Vladar.
Okay.
So similar.
Yeah.
I still think, and sub point number one will be on Markstrom in just a second, but I still think that if Jacob is healthy, you have to use him as your number one. Now, you don't have to use him like they used him under Daryl, where, and that's not a knock on Daryl at all, but Daryl Sutter was very, very adamant. Number one plays. The number one plays, and the only time he doesn't play is when we feel he needs a rest, and if he says he's healthy, he's in. Like, Daryl Sutter rides his number ones. It's what he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think you need to do, you got 14 games left. I don't think he needs 80% of the games, but I still think with the competitive level that Jacob is always on and his competitive nature, I feel like he still is owed the type of respect where he gets half the games. He's earned that. If he's healthy, I think 7 of the final 14 just by default should go to your number one guy.
And let me just jump in for a second, you know, for those who are just kind of catching up. Like, one of the hard parts about this conversation is we don't have a great grasp of the severity of the lower body injury that Jacob Markstrom's been dealing with.
For me.
Right. Like, we don't know if the Calgary Flames were 1 point out of the wild card. My sense is Jacob Markstrom would have been playing all these games.
That's my sense
but
as well.
But it's really hard to get a good read on that, isn't it, buddy?
It is, and they've been managing this, it feels like, for at least half the season, if not more. Whatever the lower body injury is, and maybe we find out on locker clean-out day, maybe we don't. But whatever he's been managing, it feels like there's been something nagging for months now. And whether it's been multiple things or just the same thing that continues to flare up, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I saw him the game he was supposed to start against Colorado, I saw him go post to post, and I saw him get up a little more slowly than normal. And I remember immediately turning to one of the other people watching Morning Skate. We both were like, whoa. And then he stayed in the net, went off first, and it looked like everything was much ado about nothing and everything was fine. And then he doesn't play against Colorado and hasn't played since. We haven't seen him practice with the team since. So obviously there's something that's being managed as the year has gone on. So that's kind of the sub point of, we're talking about how much should each guy get.
Right.
How much do they actually have to manage this between now and the end of the regular season? And how much do they have to manage it to make sure that nothing gets worse? And if they are going to be thinking about moving him in the summertime, and if that is actually a true consideration for them, how much do they have to take that into account of making it so that he'll be 100%
right
for next season, whether it's with them or with another team?
Well, and not just if you're going to move him, you know, whether you're trying to trade him or you envision him playing 50 games for you next season, you're certainly invested either way in making sure he gets the proper offseason. And so if we're talking about a nagging lower body injury that is going to need a month of rest or a minor surgical procedure, or, and again, I can't reiterate enough, we really don't have a good handle on what this is, but you know, if it would potentially help to shut him down, for lack of a better term, with a couple weeks left in the season to make sure that you're not disrupting his off season, I think both player and organization have some, you know, that might appeal to both, because whatever direction this thing's going, you want Jacob Markstrom to have a good summer and be ready to go.
And then I guess you've got the Markstrom nagging injury, whatever it is. You've got Dan Vladar is still part of the team. You can't just completely forget about him, and I don't think that they should. And then there's also the consideration of, and I honestly wonder, with the Flames 8 points out of a playoff spot and an elimination number that is dwindling. At what point do the Wranglers and what they need and the development of the players down there, at what point does that become a little bit of a higher priority for the organization? In that Dustin gives the Wranglers a better opportunity to get to the playoffs, and getting to the playoffs for William Stromgren and Sam Morton and Matt Coronado and Jacob Pelche and Jeremy Poirier and Grishnikov and all these young players that are on the Wranglers, they really believe that playing Calder Cup playoff hockey is going to be really important to their development. They're probably going to make it without Wolf, but they've got a much better chance of making it with him down the stretch. So I wonder how much that plays into the conversation behind closed doors.
Yeah, someone explained it to me a few days ago, too, as sort of the difference between trying to hit a fastball and a changeup, in the sense of, you know, someone heard me make the point that Dustin Wolf doesn't need AHL games before the playoffs. Like, he can jump right in. And they said, hey, just be careful on this because there's a transition there too. And so I think the biggest investment or where you really start to think about the Wranglers is making sure that Dustin Wolf for game one of what will be a 3-game playoff series is sharp and ready to go and be at his best. You know, you're looking at how can Dustin Wolf help us hopefully extend our Calder Cup playoff stay. Now, if you need to win 2 games on the final weekend to get in, yeah, absolutely you want Dustin Wolf there, but I am prioritizing what the future of the Flames looks like as opposed to the maybe short-term gain with the Wranglers. I don't think you necessarily need to get him back before the last week of the regular season, which is after the Calgary Flames yeah. will have wrapped their 82-game schedule. What do you think on that, though?
I think that it is important to make the playoffs in the American
for
League.
For sure it is.
And so now Danskin and Murphy are giving them a chance right now.
Just won another 2-1 hockey game last night. Yep. Good on Oscar Dansk.
And Sam Morton picked up his first point on the game winner.
Yeah. Nifty little pass.
Primary assist.
Yeah. Nice finish, too.
Jonathan Aspero with the sniper penalty shot.
Did you see
as
there
well?
Were two penalty shots
I
last
did.
Night?
I did.
Haven't seen that in a while.
So they won another 1-goal game. Connor Murphy, the goaltending department loves Connor Murphy. They think there's a ton of potential there. So him getting American League time and lots of it and being around that team right now, they feel is really important to his development and just the overall goaltending department bigger plan. They're giving him a chance right now. But I think it is important for the Wranglers to get in. And so at some point, that might be a larger priority. Right now, I don't think it is enough of a priority to, you know, really change any line of thinking, but that could change in a few weeks' time, I guess.
And so right now they have a 12-point cushion on getting it. So you should be pretty comfortable.
They should make it.
Yeah. I mean, they got 13 games left. Yeah. Anyway. They really should. But
don't tell Trent Cull that.
No.
Because he is very much pushing the team as if, hey, this is no sure thing. And they'd also like to finish further up the standings, maybe give themselves home ice in round one if they could, that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just looking at the standings, every time I check the Pacific Division, it is just a total logjam. They are tied for 5th, 6th, and 7th with 68 points, 1 point out of 4th, and 5 points out of 3rd, and 6 points out of 2nd.
Yeah. Coachella Valley's got first locked.
Yeah.
But let's hit the text line at 960-960. This reads, it's Vladar and Wolf as a tandem next year. Markstrom's gone this summer. Flames are 8 points out. Wolf should be getting the lion's share. He needs the important games, the chance to know he can make a difference. He's the primary goaltender going forward. Why put Markstrom in at all, especially if he has an injury? I don't know if you've ever spent a single second around Jacob Markstrom. That's why you put him in, because his laser beam eyes will disintegrate you. That's why. Like, and I say that in jest, but like, You tell Jacob Markstrom he's not playing any more games if he's healthy. That guy's born to play. And and if the medical staff deems that he's not going to injure himself anymore, or that the nagging thing that he's been dealing with is going to stay the same regardless of he plays or not, then he's playing. I would love for a texter to go tell Jacob Markstrom he's not playing anymore.
This is a tricky circumstance for the Calgary Flames, because you've got three guys that you don't want to not be showing faith in, and you also don't want to lose leverage in whatever move you're planning to make in the summer, right? You're going to have to try again to trade a goalie. You weren't satisfied that the offers for Jacob Markstrom were enough to move him. So how do you get a better offer? And again, remembering that this is a guy with a full no move clause, so he's going to have a ton of say in where he ultimately ends up, whether that's a list of one or five or whatever. You got to make sure that the entire hockey world doesn't think you've quit on Jacob Markstrom. You have to make sure that the entire hockey world doesn't think you've quit on Dan Vladar. And you have to make sure that Dustin Wolf doesn't feel like he's just stuck as the third guy and there's no room to grow. And so it's easy for you and I to sit here and come up with our list. Oh, six for this guy and seven for that. That's easy for us. This is a little bit of a tightrope walk for the Calgary Flames.
It was more difficult for me than you think, because to get like all the numbers to add up to 14,
as I walked by you in your office, I could tell you were fighting
it
a little.
Why do you have your shoes off? What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you need your toes for?
Yeah, I didn't know you only had four toes.
That's why addition's so hard for me.
It all makes sense.
I thought everybody had four toes.
It all makes sense.
I don't have four toes. This says, shut Markstrom down for the year. If he's got nagging stuff, don't risk it. Huge trade potential this summer. Don't screw that up. Or he's the number one next year, so why play him now? Then split the 14 both between Vladar and Wolf to measure what you've got. This says, sorry for my ignorance, but why can't they send Vladar down to the AHL for a bit? Well, they could. He'd have to clear waivers. But I think that hurts the overall perception of a goalie that you might also be trading or looking to make a move with this summer. And you don't have a roster limit at the NHL level anymore. You don't need to send anybody else to the American League. Plus, then all of a sudden you're messing up what's going on with your overall goaltending plan and getting Murphy these American League games. And there'd be no reason in my eyes to send Vladar down.
Yeah, that one would be pretty surprising to me. And I think if you were willing to do that, if you were willing to wave Dan Vladar and ask him to go join your minor league team, I think it probably would have been done by now.
Yeah. This says, to all the naysayers about Dustin Wolf's size, how big was Mike Vernon? Smaller than Wolf. Last time I looked, his name's up in the rafters. That's from Mike in Huntington. And look, I mean, not every successful goalie has to be 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Even now, that doesn't have to be the case.
But the guy we're going to talk about until we're blue in the face is UC Saros.
Yep.
That's the roadmap for Dustin Wolf to have success in today's NHL.
The other ones that I think about, Tim Thomas, Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
Those are two other quote-unquote undersized goalies who had athleticism off the charts. Well, Quick's still playing.
Even Igor Shesterkin is not the biggest guy in the world.
Now, Wolf is slighter than all of these guys.
Yeah.
But still, athleticism, intelligence, anticipation, all that type of stuff, IQ, that is what allowed Quick to be an elite goalie. It's what allowed Thomas to be like a Hart Trophy goaltender, not just a Vezina Trophy goalie, a Hart Trophy caliber goalie for a few years. So, and again, I'm not saying that Wolf's going to be at that level, but I'm just saying not every goalie has to be 6'6". It's Steinberg and Wes on this hour of Flames Talk. We're coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Wet basement? They have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary.
All right, time now for our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. Maybe like wait till next week, because your car's going to get nice and dirty here in the next few days. Then book in at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and then it'll be nice, smooth sailing for the spring. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, and now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us on our Daily Flames Roundtable. I saw Willsy tweeting about the snow and the mud and such, so that'll be a good time to point that out.
No car wash today, Willsy.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense today.
No, I mean, the roads in Calgary are usually never good during the winter, but today they were especially bad. I don't know if they dumped mud on them and bullets on them, but literally I just filled up my washer fluid like 2 days ago, went through an entire bottle of it today, driving, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 kilometers, and just rocks bouncing off my windshield left and right. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the bullets, to be honest. We'll have to follow up on that.
Agreed. Gents, let's start off by talking a little bit about Connor Zeri, who all of a sudden snuck up on me, has missed the last 8 games with the upper body injury that he sustained in that comeback win over Pittsburgh on Kiprusoff night. How much of the Flames missed Connor Zeri here over the last few weeks and the 8 games that he's missed now?
Well, they've definitely missed him. I mean, that Kadri and the kids line with Nazem Kadri, Connor Zeri, and Martin Pospisil, I think, was consistently the Flames' most dangerous offensive line. And when they fall behind in a game and they need to score some goals, they've had a harder time doing that without Connor Zeri. And now there's been a little bit better connection between Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri than there was last season or earlier this season, but I still don't think there's the type of chemistry with those two guys there has been with Connor Zeri and Nazem Kadri, and Martin Pospisil wreaking havoc on the right side of that line. I think they've won, 3 of the last 8? So I think I can't blame the record on Connor Zeri being out and Zeri being out alone, but I think that's been a factor. And also, I think it's hurt the penalty or power play. I believe they've scored 4 power play goals in the last 8 games, 4 for 25, if my memory is correct. So not having Zeri out there as a threat 5-on-5 hurts, but I also think they miss him on the PP. So they've missed him. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully we'll see him again on Saturday.
Yeah, they sure have missed him. And I've said this at various points throughout this season, but it's a real credit to not only the way he's carved out an NHL role, but just how important of a player he's made himself for the Calgary Flames. And I certainly would have said the same thing about his line mate, Martin Pospisil, when he's missed for suspension or he had a minor injury that cost him a few games as well. And so I just echo what Derek said. I think they've missed him on the power play. I certainly think they've missed him on that second line. I think what they've missed as much as anything is just having another guy who wants the puck on his stick when they need something good to happen. You know, the biggest thing I've noticed about Connor Zeri is he doesn't defer to the rest of the guys when the team needs a goal or you know, they need someone to make a play at the blue line and attack the net and try and create some momentum. In as many cases as not, he's the guy who's going to give you that. I think, you know, he's probably second only to Nazem Kadri in terms of just what he's willing to try to create some offense for this team. He's still one of the rookie point per game leaders, although nobody's getting close to Connor Bedard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without him for the past 8, it's been really noticeable.
Yeah, for a team that, you know, we've been lamenting over the last 2 seasons, a group that doesn't have a lot of dynamic, kind of game-breaking, high-end offensive talent, Zeri's been one of those guys this year. To both your points, he's been one of the guys not afraid to try things, not afraid to create things out of nothing. And and we've talked about this many times, just the overall chutzpah it takes to have the confidence. Like, it is not a common thing for a first-year NHLer to show the type of on-ice confidence that a guy like Zeri has to take pucks to the net the way that he does, to try to beat players one-on-one that he does, to be patient with the puck under pressure, under duress, inside the blue line like he does. Like, these are things you don't see a lot of first-year guys doing unless they're Connor Bedards or, you know, top two, top three picks that they're, this is a little bit of a different situation. It's been really impressive to see. So, you know, short of Kadri and over the last 25 games or so, we've seen more of it from Huberto. And, you know, Kuzmenko shows flashes of it here and there. Sharon Govich shows flashes of it here and there. But they just, they don't have a lot of that super high-end dynamic skill. And so when you take a guy out of the lineup, Willsey, who gives you that on a regular basis, it is noticeable. And they've definitely missed him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he's had a really strong rookie season, even with the time that he's missed. He's tied for seventh in the NHL in rookie goals with 12. He's tied for eighth in the league in rookie points with 29. And here's another interesting stat. Do you know who leads the league in rookie plus minus?
I do not.
Connor Zeri. Do you know who's dead last in rookie plus minus?
Hey, go easy. He plays on a bad team.
Sure. Connor Bedard is minus 38. Connor Zeri is plus 17. I think that is telling. And that's not a knock on Bedard. He's an awesome player. But I think it does speak volumes about how responsible Connor Zeri has been playing in a line primarily with Nazem Kadri and Martin Pospisil. You've got Kadri and the kids. You've got Kadri and two rookies. And that line has been excellent.
I was going to say you can sort of just strip away the fact he's a rookie and he has the second best plus minus on a Flames team that has a bunch of guys on the wrong side of break even, right? We've got Blake Coleman. If you look, you've got Blake Coleman at the top of that list at plus 24, and then Connor Zeri's next, and no one else is especially close. Zeri's plus 17, and next up is Andrew Mangiapane at plus 10. And so just even sort of honing in on Calgary's roster, that plus minus is a pretty telling stat.
And the other thing is, I talked about him being tied for seventh in goals and tied for eighth in points. He's played fewer games than all of the guys above him on that list. So you can get into points per game and it would move him up in the rankings a little bit. But yeah, they've missed him. And I'm sure he'll be shot out of a cannon if he's playing for the Flames against the Canucks on Saturday.
I'm curious to see if he gets when we get the final voting. I don't think there's any doubt that there's going to be two guarantees in the Calder Trophy voting. Brock Faber in Minnesota and Connor Bedard in Chicago. Guys, if I had a vote, I do not, but Faber would be my one, and Bedard would be my two. But I'm curious as to where Zeri finishes. He plays in a small Canadian market. He's not a big name. He's on a likely non-playoff team, but when it's all said and done, I wonder when we get the final voting, how Wes's folks over at the Professional Hockey Writers Association, how they slot him in the Calder Trophy conversation when it's all said and done.
I think a lot of people are going to struggle with, and just to sort of refresh people's memories, you know, when you vote on these awards, you give a top five. I think you're going to see a real wide range of 3, 4, 5. I know you're going to see Connor Zeri mentioned on a bunch of ballots, but I think, you know, that last spot or those last three spots and the last finalist spot, it feels pretty wide open. You could go a lot of different directions. And certainly if Connor Zeri returns on Saturday at Vancouver and, you know, if he can score a few more, if he can bump up his point per game pace even a little bit more, if he can continue to improve on that plus minus over the final handful of weeks of the regular season, I think he'd certainly make a case that he should be included in those five spots, that maybe he should be one of the forwards on the all rookie team, that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt Connor Bedard and Brock Faber will be 1-2 or 2-1. Luke Hughes is a pretty big name. I think he'll probably get quite a few votes. Marco Rossi is another wild rookie. I wonder if maybe he loses some votes because Faber's getting them. Logan Cooley's had a good year. So we'll see. He definitely deserves to be top five, in my opinion. And I would be surprised if he wasn't.
And don't forget Sam Ersson, the goaltender in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yes. Had a really good game against Toronto on Tuesday night as well. Okay, just before we get to the next topic, if Wilsey and I don't, and Wes does, but like right now, who would be number one on your Calder ballot? Wes is allowed to abstain because he actually has a vote. I said it already. Faber, and I don't even hesitate. That's not a knock on Bedard, but I'm going. Brock Faber is making Minnesota forget that Jared Spurgeon is out for the year. They are, if they win on Wednesday night, they're a point back of Vegas for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And I guarantee, like, there is no way Minnesota's doing what they're doing without the heavy minutes and offensive contribution that they're getting from Brock Faber. Faber's going to be fired up to play against his former team against the Kings on Wednesday night, too. But Faber is my number one, no question. Wilsey, what about you?
Yeah, I would probably lean Brock Faber as well, but it's more of a popularity contest. I would be stunned if Connor Bedard didn't win the award.
I agree. So Wes, are you abstaining?
Well, first I'm going to defend a little. I don't know if popularity contest is necessarily fair.
Not when Wes does it anyway.
I mean, guys, Connor Bedard could finish with a point per game as an 18-year-old in the National Hockey League. And so I think if that's the end number, he'd probably be number one. And that takes nothing away from a guy who plays 25 minutes a night. And Faber's been a terrific story, but I'm not sure that he would unseat Bedard for me.
Nope, that's fair.
Yeah, and popularity contest probably wasn't the best way to put it. What I probably should have said was there is so much hype that has surrounded Connor Bedard going back to last season, World Junior Championships, the draft. I mean, his Upper Deck rookie cards were just released last week or the week before. They're selling for like $1,000 a piece. Like, people are bonkers for this kid, and he's super talented, and he's got 54 points in 55 games, so he's missed some time. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to give it a lot more thought, but it's definitely a two-horse race for me.
And certainly, you know, a lot of the voters, you know, we all try and watch as much hockey as we can, but you see a lot of Connor Bedard highlights, right? And that goes into it. You don't, you know, what Brock Faber's doing, the most impressive part is the ice time and sort of the less sexy stuff. And so, you know, does the sort of highlight reel stuff keep Connor Bedard more top of mind for some? I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. Hey, and the market he plays in.
Look, I have, because this is what I've had to get by on in my entire life.
Yeah.
Less sexy stuff. That's why I'd be going Brock Faber.
I got to ask, Wilsey, do you have a Bedard rookie card yet?
No, I can't afford a Connor Bedard rookie card.
No, he's only got
Tua Tagovailoa rookie card.
Only Tua rookie cards. How you know this, man?
I got a Dan Marino rookie card too.
Ooh, that's a nice get.
I got a few Carey Price rookie cards. I got a decent little card.
Derek too. Wills's address is. I'm just kidding. He lives in Strathmore. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you on the Daily Flames Roundtable. Okay, 14 games to go between now and the end of the regular season, friends. We've seen a lot of players make their NHL debuts this year. We already talked about Zary, Pospisil, many on the blue line, and more. Give me one more player that you'd like to see make their NHL debut between now and the end of the regular season.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, the guy I think I'm most intrigued about is Hunter Brustevich. But at his age and coming out of junior, I'm not sure he's going to make his NHL debut. I think he'll make his professional debut. I would love to see him play some games for the Calgary Wranglers. So he is certainly a guy who's got some hype around him and has since the Flames made that trade. So, you know, he's one that I'd like to see. And Artem Grushnikov is another one that intrigues me because, you know, the Flames basically get him in that Chris Tanev package, and they trade away one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL and bring in a guy who's clearly raw, but is described as the same sort of player. And I've been told he's a little green still. I haven't had a chance to watch him play with the Wranglers, but he's a guy who, if they thought he was ready to get a little taste of the NHL, I'd like to take a look at him just to see if there's the potential there for him to be not today or tomorrow or next week or even next year, but a Chris Tanev type who can be a really strong shutdown defenseman for this group moving forward.
This one's a little tricky for me, guys, just because so many of the players that I've wanted to see debut, we've already had that opportunity, whether it be Adam Klapka, you know, whether it be Ilya Solovyov, some of the guys who have fascinated me most, and then obviously the guys on the NHL roster right now have already debuted. I think, though, the one that I'd really like to see between now and the end of the season is Jeremy Poirier. And, you know, a high-end offensive defenseman who missed most of this season with a nasty skate laceration that required surgery on his wrist or his arm. Sounds like there's still been quite a bit of rust there. I know Pat and I had a great chat with Brad Pascal yesterday, and you know, he sort of mentioned that Jeremy was still getting up to speed after missing five months of action at the AHL level. But if they feel like his game gets to the point where it would help him to have sort of an appetizer and see what he's been working at defensively, how it translates the NHL, all that jazz, he'd be the guy at the top of my list.
The guy I really like, for me, it is Brustevich. I just don't know if we're going to have that opportunity. And I only say that because Kitchener's clinched. They're going to get home ice. They're the fourth seed in the Western Conference, and they're going to be heavily favored in their first round series. They're going to play Guelph or Erie. So just from a straight up schedule standpoint, I'm not sure it'll even work out. Depending on if they don't make it out of the first round, it might work out NHL wise for him to maybe get a look, and would work out American League wise. But if they win a round, it might not work out at all, just based on how far the Wranglers might go. So the OHL season wraps up on Sunday, and then the playoffs will start sometime next week. And if they end up winning a round, they and they are best of seven in round one, so it might not work out for Brustevich. Because I'm with you, Wilsey. He'd be number one for me. I think he's now the most intriguing guy for me in the Flames system. I am fascinated, personality wise, points wise, skill set, all that type of stuff. Otherwise, it's Poirier. And I know he's still rusty, and I know he's still got a lot of things to work out. Even if it's one game, even if it's game 82. I'd like to see Poirier get an NHL game in between now and the end of the regular season. Just, it'd be awesome for him, knowing, like, imagine what was going through his head in Abbotsford in October when that skate got him in the upper arm. It would be a really, I think, nice way for him to finish the season, to get an NHL game in. Plus, we all look at him as a guy who's got some real potential down the road. So I think it would be, if it's not Brustevich and schedule-wise that might not work out, then for me it's Poirier all day.
Yeah, I would have been boring if I'd said Jeremy Poirier, because I suspected you guys were probably, or at least one of you guys was going to go in that direction. But Pat, when you explain it that way, I'm going to change my vote to Jeremy Poirier, because he is a guy who I think is going to quarterback the Flames' power play at some point in time, and who has been really good in his first couple of pro seasons, despite the fact that he's missed most of that this season with that gruesome injury. And that would be a great way for him to not necessarily wrap up a season, because hopefully the Calgary Wranglers make a long run in the Calder Cup playoffs. But I think that'd be a real feather in his cap. 41 points in 69 games as a rookie, 11 points in 12 games as a sophomore. Now, this guy's got a lot of offensive upside, and I think there's a pretty good chance, if he doesn't play in NHL games this season, and I hope that he does, that he could be fighting for a spot on this team in training camp in the preseason next season. So, yeah, I think I'm going to move him to the top of my list. You guys convince me.
Like a good convincing round table every once in a while.
I'm going to take that as an apology for the popularity contest part.
You know who just won the popularity contest? Jeremy Poirier.
Jeremy Poirier.
Yeah. Popular on the round table.
We will do it all over again on Thursday. Thank you, Wilsey.
Okay, guys, have a good night.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers this hour, as well as we wrap things up. Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at mercedesbenzcountryhills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish.